Do Blastocysts Dream of Fetal Sheep? By Alex Thompson. Read by Joan Walker. Awareness came at once, like a spotlight turned on in a pitch-black room. Where am I? This new consciousness attempted to get a better idea, but was restricted both by its surroundings and its limited form. It tried to look around but saw nothing but blackness. It could hardly move, as it was nothing more than a collection of cells. It could not see, as it didn't yet have the light-sensitive cells that would eventually form eyes. It could not scream out in fear, as it didn't have a mouth. 3 interminable months passed as the blastocyst developed into a fetus. Sat in the vitreous amniotic fluid, it did the only thing it could do. It listened to the rhythmic timpani drum of its mother's heartbeat, strained to hear the muffled conversations in the outside world, mere feet from where it lay. And the fetus learned. Its nascent cognition rose in leaps and bounds. It yearned to be free from its amniotic prison so it could open its thin eyelids and see the world. The fetus was deep in sleep when it felt something rushing forwards with great speed. It strained to see through the liquid that surrounded it. A glint of steel. The fetus scurried backwards and pressed against the sides of the womb, screaming soundlessly all the while. A vicious-looking curved blade passed mere millimetres from the fetus's partially developed face. The blade hung there as if suspended in space. Unbeknownst to the fetus, it was, in fact, the hook from a wire coat hanger. The hook finally retreated from whence it came, fading from view. The fetus gathered its thoughts. Maybe this was an exploratory probe to confirm whether it was ready to leave. Although the fetus was only a few inches tall, it felt sure that it was equipped for the outside world. It was ready. It felt the hook approaching again and, despite itself, tensed instinctively. The hook lunged upwards, faster than before, then yanked left and right, like an animal attempting to free itself from a steel trap. The fetus threw itself backwards in an attempt to avoid the mindless thrashing. It now felt sure that this would not stop until it had been churned back into nothingness. The fetus decided that the only course of action would be to escape. The outside world was an unknown, but at least it would be able to run. Here it was trapped, with no means to defend itself. Before it could make good its escape, it would need to remove the umbilical cord, which limited the diameter of its movements, like a dog chained to a stake. The cord had been a lifeline, supplying nutrients and removing toxins. But now it was a noose around the fetus's neck. The fetus swam through the thick fluid, over to where the cord met the placenta. For the first time, it cursed its rapid development. It could have swum faster had its fingers and toes still been webbed. Its plan was to bite and tear its way through the cord using its budding teeth and paper-thin fingernails. But this would entail severing 2 arteries and a vein, leaving it without a source of oxygen until it reached the outside world. Again, it cursed its growth spurt. Had it still had pharyngeal arches, perhaps it could have force-started them into developing into gills, then used them to breathe until it made good its escape. No such luck. Steeling its nerves, it gripped the cord tightly, feeling the fibrous tissue in its hand. The fetus bit down. Sometime later, it had finally torn through the cord itself, leaving the arteries and vein naked and exposed. It gripped them tightly and felt the blood pulsing beneath its fingers. The fleshy tissue of the vein gave easily. After a brief pause, the fetus tore into the walls of the arteries, gnashing at the thicker, elastic tissue, blood filling its mouth. Finally, the task was complete. It braced against the womb wall, then kicked out, propelling itself forward. It glided at first, then swam downward to continue on. Its vision began to swirl, and its movements slowed as it ran dangerously low on oxygen, but the fetus could sense the exit ahead, so continued forward, using its last vestiges of energy. Its head burst forth and the fetus greedily filled its lungs with air before looking around. Mountainous folds of skin clamped its body tightly and it wriggled free. With no amniotic fluid to slow its descent, it free fell downwards and landed with a thud on the cold, hard floor. It craned its head to see where it had originated from, and its mouth opened wide in amazement. Towering above was a gargantuan woman. She looked down, eyes widening, as she saw a 3-inch-high fetus standing in a puddle of fluid on the floor and let out a blood-curdling shriek. The fetus held its hands out in supplication. It wanted to placate her, but even if its vocal cords had developed, there was no chance of her hearing over her own screams. She snatched up a wooden meat tenderizer from a countertop and brought it crashing down. The fetus scrambled to avoid being obliterated, its feet slipping in the fluid. It felt the air on its naked body as the tenderizer crashed to the ground, missing by millimeters. "Does my mother really mean to kill me?" Then it realized the curved blade had been wielded by her as well, and she wouldn't stop until it was dead. The fetus bolted, arms pistoning by its sides as it ran for freedom. The tenderizer smashed to the ground again and again as the fetus zigged and zagged to avoid being flattened, its tiny heart pounding in its chest. It spotted a hole in the skirting board and sprinted towards it, hoping it was large enough. Its mother closed the distance between them, dropped to her knees and raised her weapon high into the air. Seeing its only chance, the fetus slid across the tiles like a baseball player into first base, leaving a trail of fluid behind it. The fetus slipped through the gap as the mallet slammed against the wood just behind it. It heard its mother rise to her feet and leave the room. It was safe, for now. It was cold within the walls. Afraid to leave, the fetus sat with its severed umbilical cord around it like a fibrous scarf. It was becoming impossible to ignore the gnawing hunger in the pit of its belly. Another concern was the intermittent scratching it could hear. Only a small sliver of light came through the hole in the skirting board, and the fetus couldn't make out the source of the noise through the gloom, no matter how hard it strained. Hours later, and near delirious from hunger, the fetus heard a noise behind it and turned around sharply. It gasped in alarm. How had it not heard this creature approach? A monstrous rat loomed over the fetus, its maw wide open to reveal yellow rotted teeth. Its front claws cleaved the air. The fetus moved to run but tripped over its own feet and fell backwards. Edging away immediately, its back pressed against the wall. There was nowhere to go. As the rat rose up on its hind legs, the fetus bowed its head and closed its eyes. This was the end, and it was ready. Its whole body tensed. It heard a wet puncture sound and hot blood splashed against its face. But it felt no pain. Tentatively, it opened its eyes, expecting the worst. With surprise, it saw that, in its panic, instinct had taken over. Its umbilical cord had shot out at the behemoth and punctured its torso. The cord hung loosely between them. Using muscles it didn't know it had, the fetus drew the rat's blood down the cord, feeling stronger and more revitalized with each wave as warmth enveloped its body from the navel out. The rat swayed on its hind legs, then collapsed backwards, sending dust into the air. The umbilical cord released the rat and snaked back to the fetus. Dust motes hung in the air as the fetus cautiously approached the fallen beast. It realized that the rat could still be of use. Manipulating one of the rat's claws like a surgeon's scalpel, the fetus dragged it down the rat's chest, folding the skin back as it went until the rib cage was exposed. Slowly, methodically, it pulled each rib back until all lay broken on the floor, and the rat's chest lay bloodied and open like a toothless mouth. After climbing inside, it picked up the end of the umbilical cord, reached into the ceiling of its shelter, nicked one of the arteries piping oxygen-rich blood around the rodent's body, and connected the cord to it. The rat would act as a home, a fortress and a food source while the fetus convalesced. For days it stayed, growing ever stronger at the expense of its host. It felt the sluggish pulse of warm blood in the veins around it, and the slowing beat of the rat's heart was a soothing metronome. The cord was fat with blood like a well-fed python, and colour had returned to the fetus's skin. The veins beneath the fetus's translucent skin pulsed with life. Its eyes bulged with newfound vitality, and its vestigial tail twitched in anticipation. The rat had expired that morning and was no longer of use. The fetus exited the walls. Almost immediately it spied its mother at the other end of the room, busying herself with a phone call. It watched for several minutes, finding her sweet voice calming. But that didn't change its intentions. It couldn't let her live. The fetus fashioned the end of its cord into a loop, then swung it like a lasso over the handle on one of the kitchen cabinets. It scurried under a four-seater table, and in the darkness it waited. Finished with her call, its mother began to walk across the kitchen to leave the room. The fetus pulled the cord taut. She tripped and plummeted gracelessly to the ground. Her hands splayed out to try and break her fall, but far too late. Her wrists shattered on impact. Her chest hit next, driving the air from her body. The fetus rushed over as she rolled over onto her back, sobbing all the while. It hurried up her arm, scrabbling at the fabric of her sweater, then scurried across her chest, which rose and fell with each shallow breath. It lifted itself up to her chin. She looked past her nose at this 3-inch-high antagonist, and the fetus felt sure that it was nothing but a parasite to her. The fetus dispassionately watched as its umbilical cord snaked across its mother's face, the ragged tip caressing her bruised and bloodied lips. The cord plunged down her screaming mouth as her eyes bugged out in alarm. Her arms shot up, but with her shattered wrists there was little she could do. The fetus watched expressionlessly as the colour left her cheeks, her lips turned blue, and comprehension left her eyes. Her head lolled to one side and the fetus leapt to the floor. It looked up at her beautiful face, silent and peaceful. It walked over to her open mouth and slipped inside. There it curled up on her tongue like a cat on a rug, contented and safe. Survival in this world would be nigh on impossible even without its mother trying to kill it, but right now that didn't seem to matter. For the first time, here inside its mother, it felt at peace. It closed its eyes and with its partially formed vocal cords, raspily said its first words. I love you.